Thank you. Hey, just a reminder, those of you that are new here, you've been coming recently, please, we plead with you. And if you brought guests or have friends here, would you just take them out at the end of service, go out through the tunnel, and to the left, there's a connect area there. We're not trying to stalk you or anything. We just want to get to know who you are. So that's a way you can help us and just connect in that way, so I know you will. Well, I was thinking about the day and even now as we open God's word with not just our hearts but our minds as well, that we would kind of pray this, and I just think it's good to start a lot of days with prayers. But you know that familiar scripture, let the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Wow, what would happen if we would just start praying that with expectation every single day? So what we're talking about in this series, number 2 of 6 messages, we're talking about soul care. And it's basically about taking care of the interior space, what's within. Because the Bible says very clearly what's inside, when the pressure comes, what's on the inside comes out. That's who we really are on the inside. So last week we just talked about the good news and the anticipation. And I encourage you to look up and to expect more and to receive strength. Today I want to talk specifically about the word gratitude. We hit it from time to time and often think about it in the month of Thanksgiving in November. But man, oh man, it's just something that's ever before us. So if you're going to take care of the inside, the interior space, if you're going to really guard your heart, then we have to get gratitude in that will stand against the tidal wave, I called it, of negative attitudes that we hit last week, because so many things around us have been swirling this year. And what do people do? They let their joy level, their gratitude level, be determined by what? Their circumstances. And I remind you often, but we say, we believe what God says in his word. We need to get to the point where we're living this truth. This is not all there is. Do we believe that this is not all there is? We do inside, but let's live like it. Whatever we're going through right now, this isn't the end. This isn't the finish line. I was listening to a podcast this week and just be reminded that you know, I'm not living for the next finish line. We're going to go all out. We're all in, all out, until we draw our first breath in heaven. Don't you love the way God set it up? I mean, you're not going to get done growing spiritually, no matter where you are. We're going to celebrate yes to Jesus today. We're going to celebrate maturing lives. But you're going to keep growing in Christ until you draw your first breath in heaven. Is that bad or is that good? That's good. There's always a challenge. There's always places to go. There's always gains before us. So we've been reflecting on this season, this last year that's brought us to this point, and experts tell us that there's going to be a great need for soul care, just like Lynn advertised the class, and really highly recommend that you check that out, because for some of you, I mean, you've, like it or not, you've been placed, and I put claustrophobic proximity to your family or even to yourselves. You haven't necessarily liked it, but that's been the outcome of this year. And the dynamic of your life and home has changed from what you thought it was going to be a year ago, January. There's been so much that's been so turbulent, and God's word wants to speak to us to help us find our equilibrium in all of that. So along with this season, I don't think it's anything new, but we've got to live like we've said yes to Jesus, because this season, more than anything else, has escalated. It's given birth to the pandemic of what? Complaining and negativity. I mean, you just put, you know, you, everywhere you go, the wind of negativity and complaining is going. I mean, I don't care what it is. You used to be gone too much. Now you're home too much. You're too busy, or you're not busy enough, or you're traveling too much, or now you're not traveling. I mean, stack it up. Too much alone time. Now, not enough alone time. And we need to work on this for sure. And let's look to God's word. I was thinking about this whole idea of gratitude. And it's not just something we force. It's truly who we are from the inside out. But Proverbs 15:13, I love it. It says, a glad heart makes a happy face, and a broken heart crushes the spirit. And I would say also, when I read that scripture, When I have a broken heart, it doesn't just crush my spirit, but it often crushes the spirit of those who love me and whom I love. Are you with me on that? The influence of your attitude is so huge, so huge. I don't know if you remember, but when I first came here, we had one of our patriarchs, was named Russell Potts and his wife Betty. Does anybody remember? We've had a huge turnover here. I think, didn't they used to live on Palmer Street? Is it Palmer Street, the one that runs alongside the golf course? Well, Russell was a history teacher at school for years and years and years, but he was always positive and with his outlook and everything. And you'll probably remember, because if you were going south on Palmer and you looked to the right, about the middle of that block across from the golf course, you found the biggest happy face in the world ever painted on his garage door. Does anybody ever remember seeing that besides me? Oh my, that got publicity all the time. You know, he displayed it there for years, and I thought, that wasn't just a slogan for him and for them. It was something that came up and out from the inside. So the Bible says that a happy face reflects a happy heart. In other words, one of the best ways to have that is to intentionally be filled up with the attitude of gratitude. So I want you to take the dipstick of your heart and life, and I want you to stick it in. I want you to pull it out, and I want you to check the level on the dipstick, your gratitude level today. How is it? And I want you to ask yourself, what determines the reading on my gratitude level today? What is it? What is it? Am I in control of that? Are circumstances in control of that? I just want you to consider that for a few moments. So our challenge is not to just try a gratitude here and there, but to be filled with that kind of heart and attitude. To me, and I'll be encouraging you through this, but that's why I love to start with God's word first thing every day, which I did this morning, nearly every day without fail. That's the first place I turn before I try to get in my phone and I'll do all those other things or look at this, that, and the other. I try to look up and I try to lift my eyes, as the scripture says, Lord, I lift my eyes to you. You're the maker of everything that is. I want your perspective today. I want you to give me the direction today. And I want to tell you, when you have that gratitude inside, it does show on your countenance. How many of you know that's true? I don't care if it's Walmart, Bueller's, wherever you go. If you have a joyful gratitude attitude in your heart, it's going to show up on your countenance, and you can see it several feet away when people don't have it. It has curb appeal, if you will. It's powered by a heart of gratitude. So I just wonder, in this area of gratitude, I just ask you, how are you reflecting Jesus, what he's doing in your heart and life relationally by the countenance that you have? Now, there's been all kinds of studies about gratitude, and you can find them in psychology magazines, etc. But I just lifted a few out that they say that gratitude is such a powerful change agent that, first of all, it releases toxic emotions. Wow. Some of you are disagreeing because you've never tried it. You might try it. It reduces pain. It reduces pain or the effects of pain. It improves sleep quality. Everywhere I turn these days, people and athletes and people of all kinds of backgrounds are talking about sleep, sleep, sleep. And they're saying that when you go to bed and you're thinking gratitude towards God and others, that improves the quality of your sleep. Have you ever had that happen? You've gone to bed at night and you've been dwelling on something negative and you wake up, you feel kind of hungover with a bad taste in your mouth. I'm telling you, it's true. It aids in stress regulation. Oh my, we hear so much about stress nowadays. We need to be about that. And then it reduces anxiety and depression. And experts are saying right and left that coming out of this year that we've encountered so many changes in all of the landscape, the horizon changing, that there's going to be an ongoing, there's going to, like never before, dealing with anxiety and depression. We've got to face it. And one of the best ways to do it is to look up with expectation that we talked about last week. And I've been thinking about gratitude. You know what I've determined? It's free. It doesn't cost you or anybody anything else. And it has no negative side effects. Went at the hospital a few weeks ago taking no medicine. I came home with 5 pills. And what was really bad is when they started telling me, I started reading about all the side effects. I'm going, which is worse? They claim that the heart event is worse. And I believe them. But listen, gratitude will have no negative effect on you or others. Oh, I'm sure there are some Mrs. Searfoss, a former neighbor of mine, that'll be around, that if you're filled with gratitude, it will annoy her like crazy. But for the most part, no. It's one of God's all-natural miracle drugs. Are you taking it regularly? Attitude. Are you truly a grateful person? How does that show up? Okay, most of us say yes, but I wonder how has that showed up in your life just like this last week? Can you think of gratitude points? Because gratitude or really points are what really causes you to point and praise. Agreed? That's what it is. I've always wondered about this. I've never gotten a good answer, but people that claim to be agnostic or atheists and they're thankful, who do they thank? You ever think about that? I mean, where do you go with that? Just a thought. You ponder it. Gratitude. Gratitude, I guess, thinking back to some of my former neighbors, the one I just mentioned years ago, gratitude is the cure for cranky. And there's a whole lot of crankiness going on nowadays. And it blazes a trail for something that's even greater than that. It's not just about not being negative. How do you know that gratitude just blazes a trail no matter what the obstacles are? It becomes a pathway of peace. But you got to try it. You got to experience it. You got to step into it. You got to follow it. And then watch God transform you and others from the inside out. I've seen one person in a family, it could be a teen or a child, a young adult, make a change in their relationship with God and a heart filled with gratitude for who he is and what he's done in their lives. And I've just seen that ripple through an entire family. Have you? Gratitude. The heart shows what it's full of. Luke 6:45 speaks to this. Here it goes, Luke 6:45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in your heart. Whatever is in your heart is going to come up and out when you least expect it. Have you experienced that this week, maybe? You can talk back to me a little bit. And then it goes on, the second part, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. That's one of my most favorite renditions of this particular verse from the NIV translation. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If you are truly grateful to God, if you look to him first thing in the morning, I want to tell you, your mouth is going to speak what's inside. Have you had this happen? People say something to you that's not gratitude filled, and then they go, they didn't mean it. I didn't mean what I said. If you go, well, if you didn't mean it, why'd you say it? Come on, we're responsible for the things that we say. Because the Bible says again, the mouth will speak what your heart is full of, what you dwell on, what you think about. So I like to give you action steps at the end, but I'm going to put this in the up front, in the middle here. I want to encourage you, and I don't know what your habits are as far as journaling. I mean, there's no reason not to. I've become a journaler in the last few years, and I just write down things daily, but I've been challenged, and I've heard others challenge this, that maybe you should start a gratitude journal. Start with just a small, simple thing. First thing every morning before you get out of bed, think of one thing that you're grateful for, one thing that you can look up and give praise to God for, that you can thank him for. Not only just think of it, but write it down, review it, and declare it out loud to yourself and others every chance and opportunity that you get. This could become a ladder, provide rungs that you could climb out of the slimy pit of anxiety or negativity or complaining or discouragement or bitterness, whatever it is, and it will lead you towards, over time, that pathway of peace. So many times when I throw out an action step, people will say, well, I tried it last week and it didn't work. Like, I'm done. I'm out of there. No. We're talking about making this a lifestyle, saying, yeah, gratitude has really been missing from my life, and I have been dwelling on negative. I've been looking for the wheeze that we talked about last week at the Masters Tournament. No. I'm going to start looking for the good things of God, and I'm going to start writing them down. I want to challenge you every day, first thing, or maybe before your head hits the pillow, to think and write down, declare one thing that you're so grateful for. One thing. I was thinking about another podcast or something that I listened to or read this week, and there was a young man whose son was a baseball player, and he got with a with a a coach, an encourager, like a coach for baseball, not like a team, but just to work on his skills. And he asked him, he said, what do you do when your son comes home? He said, if he's pitching and he had a tough day, he said, what's the first thing you do? He told him that, you know, they focus on, you know, how many walks did you have or whatever. And he said, that's the problem. You don't need to start there. You need to start with the encouragement. You need to start with the gratitude. You need to start and get him to look up and say, no matter how the day was, look for something good that you can be grateful for. Come on. How many of us focus on, if it wasn't bad, we're focusing on, oh, what we should have done or could have done or others might have done. But what if we change and say, I'm just going to look for, even in this very difficult day, I'm sick of people saying I'm having a bad day. I don't think most of us know what a bad day is. Because the Bible says, this is the day that I've gifted you. Your responsibility is to rejoice and be glad in it. What would happen as we reflect on the deep? We anticipate the goodness of God, but as we reflect, what would happen if we'd say, okay, God, there was some tough stuff that happens today. It's real. I mean, life is real. It's unfolding. But I want to just say one thing that was good that happened today, and I want to point and praise. Do you think that could reset the trajectory? I believe it was, and he said in his boy's case, that turned him around in a season, because no matter how bad or how difficult a time he had, he was looking for good things to be grateful for the gifting that God has given him, saying, I want to do the best I can to make the most of it. Gratitude, get it in you. Get your gratitude on. As I said, write it, declare it. It can only help you and yours. Make it the way you live. Not just an exercise, not something you do when you feel like it. Keep your heart fit by keeping your heart full of gratitude. And there won't be room for all the other negative things, because something will dominate. That's the positive way of guarding your heart, your home, your life. Paul wrote instructively, the Apostle Paul, about gratitude. And he told us and instructed us, we're going to look at a couple scriptures here, but remember the context that he was writing. If Paul was writing out of his circumstance, it would have been nothing but gloom and doom, right? Because a lot of what he wrote, he was in prison unjustly. He was thrown in prison. And he's saying to you, your circumstance can't contain your gratitude. He made a difference in the prisons. Remember in the midnight hour, Paul and Silas were praying and worshiping, and they end up leading people and prisoners to Christ, the jailer himself, locked up, couldn't go anywhere. His future was totally uncertain, but he wrote these things. He said, I want you to know this. When your heart is filled with gratitude, you can have peace in the middle of whatever you're going through. Have you ever had the occasion in your life, have you experienced somebody's unlikely peace when humanly they shouldn't have peace, a real sense of peace and rest in dire circumstances in the face of it? I want to tell you, like you, I have been by the bedside and in rooms of many, many people where there's loss and family members, and even in the most horrific of situations, I want to tell you, when there's people that know and love Jesus and they look to him, the peace of Christ is so real, and the hope that comes with it, that it creates a whole different atmosphere. I've also been in rooms where there's no hope, there's no peace, and there's despair, but I want to tell you, when God's peaceful presence there, how many of you know there's a dynamic? It's like a garment that you can wear. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever seen that? Time and time again. So that's what Paul was putting us to. He's saying, I want to take you to a place of peace, and gratitude is going to help you get there. Gratitude is going to help you stay there. But I want you to live a life of peace, because that's going to give people a heads up. That's going to be so attractive. That's going to be so contagious in the world in which we're living. So here it is. These are some of my life verses, and I have a lot of them, but favorites. And this is something that, I mean, your gratitude. You could do 3x5 cards. You could open a note on your phone, but whatever. I mean, this isn't going to change our life. Okay, good idea, Pastor. Unless you do it, you take action. But I love these verses, and I want to read some of them to you, and then we'll talk a little bit more and unpack them as we round the corner. But we're looking at Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8. Wonderful, wonderful passage of scripture. This ought to be underlined in your Bible or highlighted if you do it on your phone. But here's the instruction to us. Okay, so being filled up with gratitude, interior space, that's the overflow of our life. Here's what he said. Paul, writing in prison, having all the horrible things done to him that were done to him in the name of Christ, and he did nothing wrong except represent Christ. Here's what he writes to them and to us. Rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes, when you feel like it. No, what is it? Rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again. He said, if you didn't hear it the first time, let me say it again. I want to say it again. Rejoice. In other words, nothing is capable of stopping you from rejoicing. Nothing, no one. Five, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. He's saying that when we're full of gratitude, when we rejoice, when we're looking up and out first and foremost, he's saying that that'll become very evident, and they will recognize, whether they know and understand Jesus or not, they'll understand that he's near. They'll understand that something is motivating you, something is driving you, and it's not circumstantial. And they may look at your life and go, how can you have a song when everything seems to go wrong? How can you be in positive encouragement? Because we look to our source. Let me read on. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, that seems impossible to a lot of us. I was listening to John Maxwell this week, and he was talking about, he said, let's just take the idea of fear, for example. You know, we know the perfect love casts out fear, and he said, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and wisdom. We know that. But he's saying, it's not that fear is never present in your life or lurking there, but he said, our faith and what we pour in, that dominates, that overwhelms, and that drives out the fear. And I'm going to illustrate that in just a little bit. Don't be anxious about anything. In other words, fill up that place and space with gratitude to God. Don't let anxiousness dominate you, because it'll block everything else out. And I want to tell you, you don't enjoy, I don't enjoy, we don't enjoy being around those kind of people that are always negative and always circumstantial. And if I'm doing it, they don't enjoy being around me either. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't let anxiousness dominate. But in everything, would you please say everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving or with gratitude, present your requests to God. Don't tag on a few extras. Oh, yeah, thank you. I praise you. Start with praise and start with thanksgiving. Start with gratitude. And then out of that context, Lord, I have confidence for the future because you have been so faithful in the past time and time again. Oh, God, I can present this petition or need to you because I know how faithful and how great you are. My heart and life is overflowing with gratitude. Do that with thanksgiving. Present those things to God. And then, that's the key that we need to circle. Verse 7. When you do the first part, when you do 4 and when you do 5 and when you do 6, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace beyond understanding means it doesn't make sense to the watching world. You can't explain it, but they can't explain it away, and you can't explain it away because you're experiencing. Have you ever experienced God's peace? I just read about a guy this week that had a horrible accident with a horse. He was a Navy fighter pilot, and he was riding a horse, and somehow he was thrown, and the horse was at a full gallop, and he went head first into a steel post, and he just had multiple injuries. And he said, that they have said since that should have taken his life, but he said in that moment, he said literally God's spirit came to him when he was laying there and he was screaming in pain. And he said that those who were tending him, paramedics and things, said that when he experienced God, they didn't know about it. He just relaxed and had a sense of peace in that crisis situation. They thought he had expired. They thought he had died. But he said, I got to tell you, it was the peace of Christ saying, it's going to be a long road, but it's going to be okay. My presence is everything. Incredible. His presence changes everything. So we see that word, no matter what's going on in your life, can you find something to be grateful for? Can you do that? Can you rejoice? Can you reflect on, in other words, the root is about God's grace, about receiving God's unmerited favor, because on the worst day, the worst time you've ever had, you are still a recipient of God's unmerited favor, something you couldn't earn, didn't deserve. He just pours it out in your life. Have you experienced that? That never goes away. On the darkest day, you can be grateful for God's unmerited favor. You have it. He loves you with an everlasting love. No matter where you are, his love is pursuing you. I love that. God's unmerited favor. Maybe that's a starting point. Okay, today, Lord, I just want to be filled with gratitude and thanks because I don't deserve your love and forgiveness. The man in the accident said, he said, when God's presence was there, he just filled up my mind and heart with love. And he said, I felt so unworthy. He said, and I've never gotten over that experience where God's presence came in the form of love. And he said, I just felt love like never before. And he felt totally unworthy. That's exactly right. It's not about earning it or deserving it. It's about receiving it. Huh? Rejoice. Remember again that this was written in circumstances that were not conducive to rejoicing. He knew and held on to that little phrase that I just read to you a moment ago. He believed it. He said, the Lord is near. How many of you know that when you focus on Him and when your heart is filled with gratitude, how many of you can just sense the peaceful presence of God guarding your heart in Christ Jesus? Unexplainable, but it's real. Well, maybe you haven't experienced it because you never looked up. This is something you can do wherever you are, at school or at work or whatever. You can get away by yourself. You can get in that stall. You can go in your room and you can just look up to Him and say, oh God, I look to You. My help comes from You. Rejoice, rejoice. The Lord is near. Don't let anxiousness dominate your life. Rest in Him. This isn't all there is. This isn't all there is. The relationship isn't at a standstill. He has more. He wants you to keep growing. He said, don't be dominated by anxiousness or, you know, concerned or worried about just feeling like you're pulled apart in all directions. And I think that's a picture of our world so much now in our lives. We thought we had everything kind of in order a year and a half ago, and then everything started flying apart, and we're here and there. And have you ever felt like that? You're just being pulled in so many directions by so many winds that are blowing, by so many opinions circling around you. He's saying, no, do not allow anxiousness to dominate your life. Don't be pulled apart and going in one direction. Get your focus right. Get God's perspective first of all. And we talked about this last week in Romans 8, 28 and 9. Our perspective, he sees, says, needs to be like this. And we know, we believe from the inside out, we've committed to it, we've received it, that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And it goes on, next verse says, because God will use, He works in and through everything to conform us more and more to the image of His Son. And that's when our lives have the greatest value, when we're representing Jesus very well, especially in unlikely places. Especially in unlikely places. Thanksgiving, that's another key word. Don't be anxious in everything. Be thankful. Once again, if you really look at it and go deeper in the word, you know what it means? Thankful for many things, but the root, the bottom line is this. Being thankful for the grace of God, which is unmerited favor. That He has extended, that He's extending to you grace and mercy. When you say yes to Jesus and come into relationship with Him, and then you say, I want to stand publicly and I want to be baptized because I'm not ashamed of the gospel, that's what it's about. It's being thankful, receiving the grace and mercy, the unmerited favor of God. Rejoice in this truth. Be thankful in every circumstance. And I would say to you that no matter where you are, there's nothing that has the power to diminish the gratitude flow from inside out. It's your choice. I want to say it again. Gratitude is not circumstantial. We never lose the ability to have and to express it. What's holding you back? I think there are many today who are watching that are here. If you would get this one thing straightened out, if you would go in a new direction in your life, it's amazing where it would take you in 6 weeks. You'd be amazed. That attitude brings peace, that sense of being whole and complete on the inside, no matter the storms that are blowing at us, no matter what's coming our way. So God says, I want you to be full of gratitude because that's the place, that's the path towards becoming full of peace. My peace that guards your heart in Christ Jesus. I like to think about when Jesus was on the boat ride, remember with His disciples, and the storm came up and they were fearful and afraid, and they woke Him up and said, Jesus, don't You know, don't You care that we perish? And He, what did He say to the wind, to the waves? He said, peace. I don't think He said, peace, be still. I think He said, peace, be still. Does that sound like another familiar scripture? Be still and know that I am God. Look to Me. Quit looking to your husband, your wife, your spouse, everybody else. He said, look to me. I'm your gratitude source. Don't place your expectations on others. Place it on me. I will never leave you. I'll forsake you. I'll never let you down. I'll never leave you alone. So let me see if I can illustrate it as I conclude. So here's our lives. Okay, our lives are filled up. Filled up. And maybe that's where you felt 16 months ago, 14 months ago. I mean, you had it going on. Everything was good, and you were so encouraged about so many things. But in this year, there have been some unexpected setbacks and things that have happened, and maybe related to jobs or your income or family relationships, whatever it is. And you felt the anxiety, those things begin to creep in. I mean, fill it in. No matter what you say, it could be a loss, it could be a grief, unprecedented levels of grief, whatever it is. If we're not careful, those things can end up dominating our life. So I just want you to reflect and say, what is it that's dominating your life today? And is whatever dominating your life, is that because of the circumstances that you find yourself in? He said, his word, and I've described it, he said, I want you to be filled up with gratitude, with thankfulness in everything for my unmerited favor, my grace and mercy extended to you. And he's saying basically in a practical way, and I'm putting it in my own words, but saying, I want you to start every day at the beginning and end of the day, I want you to start filling up the space and place with gratitude. Okay, we start pouring out one day, 2 days. Anything happening? No. Okay, Lord, the circumstance is a little rough, but I'm going to keep my focus on you. I know there's circumstances that this wasn't necessarily a good day, but I'm going to keep pouring out gratitude because that's what my heart is full of. And I'm going to keep pouring out. Is anything happening? Can you see a difference? You might have had a setback, but Lord, I'm going to pour out my praise. I'm going to pour out my gratitude. I'm not going to stop. No matter what, I'm going to keep pouring it out. I'm going to keep pouring it in. Lord, I'm going to lift up. I'm going to look for something good in the middle of the dark of night. Is anything happening? The water's becoming pure and clear once again. Your heart's being filled. It's not that there aren't things there, but as you pour on the gratitude, I want to tell you, it just brings aeration and it oxygenates that water. And before you can be filled with a heart from the inside out that is full of thanksgiving. I think sometimes we feel like when we make a start spiritually, we expect everything to change overnight. But he's saying, no, you get the word in you and you just keep pouring it. You keep pouring it. You keep being grateful. You keep being full of it. You keep writing it. You keep declaring it. You keep sharing it over and over. And he'll begin to replace what's on the inside. And he's saying to you, based on that illustration, when I start changing the water of your heart and life, guess what's going to come out when the squeeze is on? Gratefulness. Thanksgiving, and it's going to be so attractive and contagious. He's trying to take us back to a place of peace, our hearts filled with gratitude. When I am in difficult circumstance and navigating, I remember the passage in Isaiah 55 that says basically God speaking, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. In other words, you're going to be surprised by what I do. You're going to be surprised. You can only point and praise. You're going to be amazed. And my ways are far beyond anything you could even imagine. We can't think it up. We can't work it up. We can't even imagine in prayer what he wants to do in and through us. Jesus said, my peace I give. I leave with you. So let me go back again. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests known to God. And then the grace, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Okay. So as I'm pouring, you know what I'm doing in my heart? I'm doing Philippians 4:8. If I'm full of thanksgiving, if I'm rejoicing in every circumstance, I'm doing this. My attitude of gratitude, I'm saying, finally, brothers, whatever is true and whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. If you keep pouring that in, I want to tell you, it's going to go out. You know how I got this idea? Over the weekend, Friday or Saturday, we had some chicken and we had some different sauces that we were dipping it in, and there were leftovers, and I just went over to the sink and I just started pouring water into it, and it's amazing that it eventually cleaned out all what was inside. I mean, it was all kinds of junk, but it cleaned out and the water red pure. Listen, hearing the word isn't going to do a bit of good unless we apply it to our lives. And so that's what I'm talking about. Lord, today I'm going to think gratitude. I'm going to go to you. I'm going to think about, how would your life change? How would the atmosphere of your family change? We go, I'm not going to go down that negative trail. I'm going to get in, get out. I'm going to turn it off. I'm going to turn away. And I'm going to think about noble things, right things, pure things, lovely things, admirable things, excellent, praiseworthy things. How do you believe that has the power to change your life and change others' lives around you? Yeah. What he's telling us in his word is that when you really know Jesus in relationship, when you've said yes to him and he begins to work in your life, you can know truly a sense of peace and have expectation. Well, we're approaching our baptism now that we want to conclude with today. And I just want to make it very clear, in a moment I'll call everybody up who's going to be baptized first service, and then we have people that are going to be baptized second again. I love the way Billy Graham used to describe it when he was alive, and I think his ministry carries on. But he said, you know, the way we explain salvation is that there's some simple steps you can take to have peace with God. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking today. I'm not talking about reading the latest self-help book. I'm talking about God doing a work on you on the inside, and it comes up and out. That changes everything. And so quickly, no matter where you are today, I just want you to tune in, because this is the essence. This is a setup for baptism. It's not just a ritual. If you haven't come to a relationship with God through Christ, you're just getting wet. It's indicative of the decision that you've made in your heart. But he would present it in this way. He said, God has a plan. God loves you and wants you to experience his peace. And the Bible said that God loved you so much that he gave his only son, John 3:16. So you shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. But he said there's a problem, and that problem is separation, because sin brings separation. It robs us of our peace from God. Peace isn't automatic, because we've been separated from him and we're searching. I heard someone, I watched a part of a life story of someone, a musician, phenomenal, if I told you, you'd know who they were. And at the end of all these accolades, he said, I'm just bored, I'm miserable, I don't know what to do next. He said, my life is so empty. For all have sinned, it says in Romans, and fallen short of God's glory, Romans 3:23. And then he said, aren't you glad that for our problem of sin, there's a remedy, and that's the cross. Jesus bridged the gap when he laid down his life. God love bridges that gap of separation so we can go to him and not be separated from him. When he died and rose from the grave, he paid the penalty for your sins and mine. He says he personally carried the load of sins in his body where he died on the cross, 1 Peter 2:24. And then finally, our response, receive Christ. When you receive Christ, when you say yes to Jesus, you cross the bridge into God's family. You receive, you respond to that personal invitation, come to me. The Bible said, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So today, saying yes to Jesus means, first of all, that you admit that you have a spiritual need. You can't fix it. You can't do it yourself. I'm a sinner in need of what? God's grace, because I want to be filled with gratitude for that. I've got to repent. I've got to be willing to confess and repent, to turn from my sin. It's about a change of mind. It's a change of heart from the inside out. I've got to believe what Jesus Christ did. I've got to confess that in my heart and with my mouth, that he died for my sins on the cross. I believe that, and by faith I receive it. Jesus, come into my heart and life. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. What an invitation. Whoever, it says in Romans 10, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Aren't you glad it doesn't say might be saved? Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what your circumstances are. If you call out to me, you will be saved. So as we prepare our hearts for baptism, and I'll ask that question to those who stand before me in a moment, but would you pray with me wherever you are? And you know, it's okay if the congregation at home, you just pray out loud, okay? Could you repeat this prayer after me out loud? On the stage, whoever, would you just repeat this prayer out loud from the heart? Dear Lord Jesus, come on, congregation, lift your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I want it. I believe that you died for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. So I turn to you. I now invite you to come into my heart and life and give me your peace. Fill me with gratitude so my life will point in praise. I will trust and follow you as Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says if you pray that prayer with sincerity, that you have become a new person, a new creation in Christ. No matter how you feel, no matter what the circumstances are, you can say, I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to live for Him. Amen.